The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. If you have your Bibles handy, turn with me to Genesis 15, beginning in verse 5. And I hope you do have your Bibles, because this is a very important topic that we're going to be speaking about today. Genesis 15, beginning in verse 5. God is speaking to Abraham here, and he said, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be,' a promise that God made to Abraham," or Abram at that time, that God changed his name to Abraham, "that his descendants would be as the stars of heaven." Now he's speaking, for one thing here, of the United States and the British people. Verse 5, God made Abraham the promise that his seed would be as numerous as the stars in heaven. That means many, many people from the seed of Abraham. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. In verse 13, God foretold of Israel's slave labor and captivity in Egypt many, many, many years before it occurred. Now notice verse 14, "And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possession." Yes, God foretold that many years before that happened, that Israel would come out very rich from the land of their captivity from Egypt, and he foretold the fact that he would judge Egypt and bring calamities upon Egypt, bring the fall of an empire at that time, the greatest nation on the face of the earth at that time. God predicted that hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. Now notice verse 14. God foretold of the judgment that he would pass on Egypt, and that Israel would come out very rich, as I said. Verse 15, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age." And if you know the account of Abraham's death, he died at 175 years old, and evidently had good health and good prosperity all those years, because he was a man that served God, and God blessed him in every way. Now, verse 16, "But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." Yes, God foretold the fact that Israel would come back to the promised land that he had promised to Abraham. God set the time that Israel would come to the land he had promised Abraham. Not only told them that they would come back, but he set the time that they would come back. God also set the time for the iniquities of the Amorites to be complete, or the time for the Amorites to fall. Egypt fell also just before this time, and God set the time for Egypt to fall, as well as every other nation and empire down through history. But did you notice why the Amorites would fall, and when? It was because of their sins, because of their iniquities, because of their lawlessness, of breaking God's law. And the same is true for all other nations and empires that has fallen down through time. It is when their iniquities are complete. That is when God has given them plenty of time to prove one way or the other which way they are determined to go. And so far, it has been the wrong way. Then when time is up, they must pay. And they have, and the nations that now exist will fall and pay as well. Nations and empires will always fall in time that doesn't build their house on the rock, God and Christ and their way. Notice what it says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Christ is speaking here, and he's speaking about the fact that if you build your house on God's way, follow the example of Jesus Christ, walk in his footsteps, obey God the Father, keep his commandments, he says that house will stand. Notice in verse 25, "And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." yes, founded on Jesus Christ. Christ isn't saying that you won't have some troubles and problems along the way. He says you will, but says you will stand, or that nation will stand, or that empire will stand, or that factory or that company or corporation will stand. This is speaking on a national, international, a personal scale as well. Notice verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So Christ is saying that unless you build your house on the rock, that, you know, your way is going to end. A nation is going to fall. A company, a corporation is going to go out of business eventually. Yes, sin leads to destruction, or lawlessness leads to destruction. Worldwide sin or lawlessness leads to worldwide destruction. The world has forgotten the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah, the fall of Babylon, and all the other nations and empires that have fallen. And we have either forgotten or never knew why they fell. Matthew 7:24 through 27, Christ tells us why they fell, because they built their house, their businesses, their nations, their personal lives on sand. They didn't build their life on the way of God, is what Christ was saying in that passage. The scriptures are full of advanced news, prophecy, some of them which have been fulfilled, but other events are scheduled to be fulfilled in our time and just a few short years from now. Great cities and nations have had decrees passed on them that no one has been able to alter, critics notwithstanding. Each nation has been allotted enough time to prove how destructive and corrupted its methods are, time to see the end result of its own ways. In a sense, God has given each nation or empire enough rope to hang themselves. But there comes a time of correction and punishment to each one. God also foretold the rise and unprecedented greatness, wealth, and power of the United States and Britain. But the same God also tells what will eventually happen if those nations reject His rule and disobey His commandments. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, these prophecies are a frightening appraisal of problems plaguing our modern nations. If you haven't read those chapters, Deuteronomy 26 and Deuteronomy 28, these prophecies are a frightening appraisal of problems plaguing our nation, and you need to read them, and you need to perk up your ears and listen, because God is speaking to you individually. Yes, God is speaking to the nation of Israel. He was speaking to the ancient nation of Israel at that time, and it is a prophecy for the modern nation of Israel today, the United States and the British people. And He is speaking to you as an individual as well, and you need to listen and you need to heed. Is anyone so blind that he cannot see the growing evil, sickness, and violence in our modern societies, the vileness, corruption, and depravity in which we wallow? National character continues to disintegrate and degenerate. Our own leaders and men of historical vision have decried the way we are going. Some draw the same parallels to Rome. America, Britain, and the Western world as a whole have rejected true values and self-restraint, rejected revelation of God, rejected His laws as being revealed in the spirit of the Ten Commandments. This is the law upon which all true goals and values must be based. Our nation desperately need righteous goal, values, and national purpose. God reveals what they are. But we have to want them, and we have to want them God's way, and we have to want them bad enough to begin to obey. The nation that turns to God in obedience will be a nation blessed by God, a nation whose God will protect it personally and directly from its God-rejecting enemies. This is the lesson of ancient Israel, whose great victories were wrought by the hand of God. The United States and Britain were blessed by God with the most bountiful heritage the world has ever known. We didn't acquire it by our great power alone. We think we have, and that is part of the problem. It's been given to us in ways we little recognize. Abraham Lincoln recognized this fact and expressed it in a presidential proclamation in 1863, where he said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God." This was back in 1863, my friends. How much farther are we from God now than we were at that time? And Abraham Lincoln recognized this. He goes on here, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicating with broken success, we have become too self-sufficient." Oh, how true that is today. Too self-sufficient to need God. Too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now therefore, in compliance with this request, and fully occurring in the view of the Senate, I do by this my proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of this nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. Now, if that were true at that time, and it was at that time, how much more true is it today? A nation that is divided by politics, by religion, and seemingly everything that you can think of. Looks like everything that you can look at and think of today in our nation needs fixing. Those words from a president of the United States would undoubtedly be ridiculed by this generation. But we would do well to heed the warning. Yes, you as an individual, you would be wise to heed this warning. There are promises of national well-being if we do. The question is, will we rise to meet the challenge? Our peoples today stand on the brink of a disaster greater than Rome's. We need a national change of spirit now, before it's too late, before history repeats its agonizing sequence of events on our nations, and we could almost call ourselves the modern Romans. Notice what God had to say here in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." That's a promise that God has made to our nation. That's a promise that God has made to you as an individual. My friends, if you'd like more understanding about this topic, keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, because we're going to continue to talk about the rise and fall of the United States and what it is that's going to make us fall. And if you'd like to know more in the meantime, request our booklets, Nations in Decline. It's free upon request, and all you need to do is just call us at 1-800-611-8080 and request your free booklet, Nations in Decline and the Two Houses of Israel. Nations in Decline and the Two Houses of Israel. This will help you to understand what a predicament we are in and where we have come from and what's going to happen to our nation unless we turn and repent. Call us toll free at 1-800-611-8080.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.